Ho! Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast, tough guy. Give me a ho! Ho!
We here at another wrestling podcast have been racking our brains trying to figure out how we can show our true colors, our pride in our country, our USA spirit, and we decided...
What better way to show our American heritage than having our patriotic show 2 weeks after our country celebrates its birthday?
Well, you know, like I said, if you're listening to us today and you're from another country and you're not too happy about this, you know, maybe you're not our target demographic, but I think you'll enjoy the show anyway. We have none other than WWE Hall of Famer and legend Hacksaw Jim Duggan stopping by the show.
That's right, Jonathan. We have the home man himself, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, WWE legend joining us.
He's been called lots of things. I'm pretty sure that the home man is probably a first on another wrestling podcast.
Hey, well, you got to go with what you know. And first thing, it's better than calling him the man with his wood and hoe. I don't know.
It's time for another wrestling podcast with your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
It's a patriotic show, Jonathan. Let's talk patriotism in professional wrestling. I mean, there's been lots of characters, lots of superstars, lots of everybody. You know, it's been basically surrounding the USA, the patriotism of our country. A lot of characters. I mean, just to name a few, you got Sergeant Slaughter, Hulk Hogan, obviously. He is the real American. You know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, obviously, who will be joining us later. But, I mean, not just the U.S. I mean, there's been other patriotic wrestlers, including Bret Hart, Iron Sheik, Muhammad Hassan, if you even want to go there. But let's talk about this, Jonathan. Patriotism in wrestling, what's your feelings on it? I mean, do you think it's pretty much a staple in professional wrestling?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, a tale as old as time, as they say.
tale as old as time.
Well, there goes another listener. No, I think that, you know, from the humble beginnings of professional wrestling to today, I think it's always been a factor. And I think it's one of those things that mirrors what's going on in real life. So whether it be the Iran-Contra scandal, in which we got, and this was in the 80s, in which we got Iron Sheik to, you know, after 9/11 tensions with the Middle East is where we've got Muhammad Hassan. So I think that it's always been there, and I want to say that it always will be there, because right now, if you look, what do we have? We have Rusev and Lana, and since we have tensions maybe with Russia, that's why they're a part of the WWE right now. So it's an awesome subject to get into.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's been so many characters. We just named a few, but it's definitely like the cornerstone, a staple, or whatever you want to call it, in professional wrestling. I mean, without patriotism, whether it be the U.S. or basically your country or any other country you come from, you know, it gives people a reason to get behind somebody. I mean, right now, if you look at the landscape of wrestlers, at least just alone in the WWE, everybody is from another country. You have Sheamus, Ireland. You had Kofi Kingston from Jamaica, but you know what I mean? Each character or superstar that you talk about is pretty much from another country. And I don't know. Do you think it's too much? Too many people are solely based on, you know, their own country. Shouldn't there be more behind their character or no?
You know, I think that it's a good way to get people, you know, noticed quicker maybe than they would be if they just were from, you know, coming down the aisle from any town, USA, from Poughkeepsie, New York, or, you know, Winslow, Indiana. I think that helps Sheamus. Obviously, people are going to look at him right away and know that he's, you know, somewhat Irish. So that gives him a fan base that necessarily he wouldn't have gotten if, you know, they didn't announce that. But I think that you know, we right now we do have a huge amount of people from different places, and that is not only helping them, but it's helping WWE and all the other promotions that go on these large tours overseas, and it helps them to see, hey, here's my hometown guy, Wade Barrett or Paige, Sheamus. There's a new developmental girl named Becky Lynch that's down in NXT right now that's also from Ireland. So I think it helps, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with being that flag bearer of your country, because it can definitely help you get over, and there's an unlimited amount of flag matches that you can have.
Well, I think my argument about this whole patriotism in wrestling is that, like, I love the Hacksaw Jim Duggins, the Sergeant Slaughters, the Hulk Hogan's, you know, the USA chants, Kurt Angle. I love the USA gimmicks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just saying it because I'm from the USA, but I mean, I kind of hate it to where every character has to be another country. I think it's too much. I miss the days of, you know, one guy's a garbage man, one guy just has a bird on his arm, one guy carries a snake around. But now it just seems like every guy, like, his whole gimmick is, this guy is from Canada, this guy is from, you know, Ireland, this guy is from Germany, this guy is from Sweden, this, you know. Do you think it's too much with the countries, and should we at least get back into more characters? I mean,
so let me get this straight. Yeah. You're upset.
I am.
That there are too many people too with many. Countries and and not enough birds, snakes, and trash men.
And maybe throw in just a few airplanes, we'll have another movie. But I mean, I'm not saying go back to like all the silly gimmicks and anything, because I'm a fan of the reality era. I mean, I love the pipe bombs and all that. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's like when you look at the roster of any wrestling company. I mean, but I'm just focusing on WWE. It's like you look at them and their main gimmick is their country, and it's just like anything else. Like Sheamus, for example. Don't get me wrong. I mean, let's take him and look at him for a minute. To where you look at him, obviously, yes, he's Irish. You know, he's doing the whole Ireland thing. I don't know. I'm not just saying that because he has red hair, but I mean, you know, he's got that behind him. But other than that, what else is he? He has no other character. I mean, I kind of liked him better when he was King Sheamus, because at least he had more of a gimmick going instead of, hey, I'm just Irish and I have an accent. I don't know.
No, I do get that. I think that where WWE kind of gets in trouble is, like, recently they just had a feud with Big E and Rusev. And so what did they do? They brought Big E, and he was coming down to the ring with, you know, Old Glory, as they call her. I don't necessarily think that was needed. I think that, you know, they could have just said, hey, Big E's from the United States. That's fine, whatever. But so I think that I'm kind of on the same page as you with that. But what I think is the most interesting is, if you look back at, for every pro-American wrestler that there has been, there's been like the evil to their good. So, you know, with Hulk Hogan, let's just talk about Hulk Hogan for a second. Uber American, came out waving the flag, and who did he go against? The evil Iron Sheik from Iran. Now, I think that obviously the crowds that they were going to in that time frame were all pro-US. So there was kind of some, you know, nervousness about Iran and what they could possibly do to the United States. And I think that all Iron Sheik had to do was go into any arena in the US and say, you know, USA, Tui, he would spit on the ground, Iran number one. Yeah. And he instantly became the most hated person that was going to come out there that night. So I think that, you know, in those instances, it absolutely makes for great angles and television. So I think that at its core, that's what they try to do, is, you know, to get the crowd really worked up about, how dare you say anything bad about my country.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it does make great angles. I mean, we just saw recently, too, with Swagger and Rusev, to where you pretty much had Swagger as a heel, and now he didn't really change his character too much, being like, you know, USA, USA. He's kind of the same guy still, but they're kind of changing their talk a little bit to where it's not so much, you know, anti, well, they weren't anti-America, but you know what I mean? They weren't really faces, but they're mostly heels. But now that they, you know, they're going against the bad Russia guy, now they're kind of like faces, but they're not doing anything different. So it almost goes to the point where I think Vince McMahon said, or anybody else said too, that where there's really not any more faces and heels anymore. It's just characters now. If you like them, good. If you hate them, you know, that's another thing. And do you think that's kind of going away too with patriotism, to where you don't necessarily have to walk out with a flag, but you could still be that USA guy and still get cheered and not, you know, be 100%, you know, like some of these other guys did, where they'd come out waving the flag and stuff. Because, I mean, that didn't work for Big E. I mean, he came out with the flag and it didn't really do anything for his character. It lasted like a night. But, I mean, you know what I mean? To where they don't really have to carry that flag, but they could still be that American gimmick.
Yeah, I think that with Swagger, I mean, he used to be, when he would come out, he was introduced as the all-American American Jack Swagger.
I love that.
The so, American. You know, now they're not even saying that. So, I mean, it could be a chance for them to just say, listen, I'm Jack Swagger, you know what I am, you know that I'm pro-America, so I'm going to fight Rusev, who's this Russian guy, and we're going to, you know, good versus evil again. I don't know. I don't think that pro wrestling's ever really going to get away from the good and bad. I just think that it's not in the business. You have some companies like Ring of Honor that I think aren't necessarily like that, but for WWE, it's going to be hard for them, because with licensing and merchandising and all that stuff, it's very easy to say this is your good guy and this is your bad guy, and you know, John Cena is always going to outsell Rusev in merchandise, and not just because they're, you know, whatever, but because they're good and bad. So I want to ask you, you're a lifelong pro wrestling fan, as am I, and you know, what do you look at as the number one, you know, angle or wrestler that has to do with, you know, America or another country, really? I mean, because there's been so many. What do you remember most about those?
That's a good question. I mean, things that stand out, I mean, I'm trying to remember like all the 80s matches too, and even some recent stuff too. I mean, it's hard because, I mean, even with, you had matches with Kurt Angle somewhat in the 90s and 2000s that stood out, but I'm trying to think, you know, if it was really pro USA and whatnot. But I think the biggest thing I could think of, it doesn't even have to do with US, would have to be the whole Bret Hart, the Calgary faction, the new Hart Foundation, when it was him, Owen Hart, the Bulldog, and Pillman, because that's kind of when, you know, Bret Hart was turning heel, but he was, you know, so pro-Canada that it was great. And I think that was probably the best patriotic gimmick I think the WWE had as far as heel-wise gaining so much heat. Because even with Shawn Michaels, I think with DX then, even the feuds they were having, I mean, that Michaels was putting the flag in his nose, wiping his butt with it and all that. And I mean, you know, it was pretty much drawn the line with Bret Hart too. And it was hard to tell what was real, what was fake, what, you know, all the heat going on. And I think from all the years watching it, you could even overlook Hogan, overlook Duggan, overlook Slaughter, even turning heel on America. And I would definitely pick out, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a Bret Hart fan.
No, that's exactly what you're doing.
But I mean, that, I don't know if you agree with me, but that was probably one of the best gimmicks Bret Hart had as a heel, was when he had the new Hart Foundation, because as much as everybody hated him or whatnot, they were heels. I still loved them. But I mean, that was the biggest time they actually had something going on with country wise. You know what I mean? Like pro Canada, we hate the US. And, you know, they were just getting booed everywhere and whatnot, but you still had those fans in there, including me, that were still cheering them, even though they're, you know, saying crap about our country. But,
you know, I think that was one of the first times where the fans really started to kind of turn. And it was more of the fans started to realize how big their voice could be. And, you know, and that's what was good for the whole, for professional wrestling as a whole. But for me, both of mine, I have two that I'm really batting around in my head. The first one is when Sergeant Slaughter turned heel on America in the 90s. I was obviously just a young kid back then. I'm a spry young man now, but when that was going on, I remember it being so real because I was watching the news and you would see Desert Storm was happening. People in my own neighborhood were leaving to go to war. It was a big deal, and it was on every newspaper and tying yellow ribbons around trees. I remember the whole deal. And I watched wrestling religiously, and I would see Hulk Hogan, and you know, I knew of Sergeant Slaughter, and all of a sudden I'm seeing that Sergeant Slaughter is in a picture with now this was before they did great photoshopping, so it was some crudely pasted pictures of Sergeant Slaughter with his arm around Saddam Hussein, which, you know, it was but to me I was like, oh, how dare him, you know, how could he do this to America? And when he came out and he had one of the boots that Saddam Hussein had sent him,
yeah.
And then he burned Hogan's shirt on national television. I mean, I really remember it being a huge deal. And I've watched several DVDs and on the subject and stuff, and talked about how real it was, is that, you know, they actually got Sergeant Slaughter was actually getting death threats, and they had to move his family, yeah. And, yeah. You know, slashing his tires, and I mean, it's just it's crazy. So that one's definitely like a huge angle for me. The other one happened at WrestleMania 21 when Muhammad Hassan came out and started to beat up Eugene, and all of a sudden the Hulk Hogan song hits and he comes down and beats up Hassan and Daivari. Now, this is another question I'm going to get into real quick with you, Credo.
Sure.
Is there a time when patriotism and stuff like that go too far? And the reason I'm referencing this is, do you remember how Hassan left?
Yeah. Are you talking about the time where all those guys came in masks? Or I'm trying to remember what the moment it was. But I remember there was something that happened where they came in. I don't know if it was when he left, but these guys came in masks and started beating up guys in the ring, and that was like literally a week or two after bombings that happened in London or something like that. I don't know the facts exactly, but I'm just trying to go off the top of my head right there. But
yeah, now what had happened was that basically these guys looked somewhat like you know, radicals, had the black ski masks on and black shirts and pants, and they came in and they would start to carry out these people like almost like sacrifices.
Yeah.
And it did happen right after the London bombings, and so much so that WWE almost lost their television deal, because at that time SmackDown was on UPN, and I saw it as just extreme realism. You want to talk about reality era, that was pretty much what I felt was the height of that sort of that situation. So but do you think that they went too far with that, or?
Well, I think the thing was is that I'm trying to remember the facts from it, because wasn't it I think it was a recorded show. Wasn't it like recorded SmackDown? Or
yes.
So this was recorded, and then the bombings or whatnot happened like a week or 2 weeks after this or something like that. But they still ended up showing it later on. And it was, you know, it wasn't like they did it because of that happened. It was actually already happened, and they just happened to play it around the same time. And maybe it was the sensitivity that they should have, you know, looked out for. But at the same time, I'm sure somebody's sitting back being like, wow, perfect timing. We, you know, we did this angle while something bad happened, and it kind of mixed together. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, I just think that, you know, it's one of those things, too, is that I really – this is going to sound really bad, but I enjoyed what they did with the character. And it's one of those things that with Hassan, they did it exactly how they wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. He kind of described himself as a Middle Eastern American wrestler. And he wanted, like, to kind of step out from the stereotypes that were created from 9/11.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't coming out saying how much that he loved the Middle East or anything like that. He was just simply stating that he didn't want people to look at him differently because he was a Muslim American. Yeah. But then that's exactly what people did. So in a sense, you know, they played right into his hands, similar to what I was saying with Iron Sheik coming down and just saying that Iran's number one and USA is terrible. So, but I think it was the most real in the time that I've been watching. So I think that Hassan definitely ruffled feathers with people, but at that point you had a lot of people coming down that were saying that they were American and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So I definitely think that his character was really real, and maybe if that thing hadn't happened, that we may still have seen him in the WWE today.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, about this whole patriotism talk is that it's not just U.S. It could be, you know, it's pretty much you're patriotic for your own country, you know what I mean? So it's played such a big part in pro wrestling. I mean, you could even say it's even 25% or something of the business, if you want to even get there. You know, I don't know the percentage. I'm just saying a number. But, I mean, you know, even the shows they do overseas with the troops, you know, every year they put on shows for the troops. You know, it's a big part in today's wrestling world. You know, it's like without patriotism, would there even be wrestling almost? Like, what else are you going to do in wrestling? Like, what kind of characters are you going to come up with? What kind of stories are you going to evolve into? And a lot of it has to do with the pride in one's country, which is great. I mean, it's a big part. It's a cornerstone pretty much of wrestling. But Jonathan, with all these great patriots, there's been a lot of bad gimmicks as well. One gimmick that comes to mind, which I want to talk to you about and get your take on it, but was the Patriot Del Wilkes. Now I don't know how he started. I don't know the history. I'm just going with my gut here and just talking to you, shooting from the hip, you know. Yes. So, okay. So I don't know when he started. I don't know where he came from. I don't know what happened. But all I know is that all of a sudden I'm seeing these vignettes for the Patriot. Now, to me, he's pretty much just a luchador in a patriotic mask who's not a luchador, but he's just, you know, he's got like the Texas accent or whatever kind of accent you want. He had like the all American accent.
American
accent, you know. Is there anything more un-American to be than a masked wrestler or luchador? I mean, it just kind of, I got it, but at the same time, I was like, it's not American. I don't know. But was that a bad gimmick to you?
To me, it was. I don't know. You know, once again, you talk about America, land of the free, home of the brave, and yet this guy is not brave enough to show his face. You know, it's confusing to me. And he carried the flag, so that immediately meant that he was going to go against people that were not from the USA. Because if not, then, you know, why are you fighting? You've established this guy as only someone who's, you know, from the United States. You don't really tell us anything else about him. And, of course, the gimmick didn't go so well. And I think today, and I don't know, there was a lawsuit, and I don't know the outcome. I'm sure that our listeners will let us know. But the Patriot is now being wrestled as Tom Brady, who is Salvatore Sincere, for those of you keeping track at home.
I heard he sold his gimmick.
Yeah. So, I think that's not necessarily a great one. Another person that I just didn't believe as the All-American is Lex Luger, really.
Yeah, he was so much better as the narcissist. I loved him. That was such a great character. Why would you? I mean, the Lex Express, I get it. You body slammed Yokozuna, and then you pretty much killed Elizabeth. But still, like, the Lex, it was it. The narcissist was better than the Lex Express.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, they pushed it too much on him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy, though, because you think about all these gimmicks and most Hispanic wrestlers that I've seen are very proud of their heritage. So, you know, whether they created the LWO and WCW, or, you know, like Eddie Guerrero and Chavo. I mean, to me, I think that it goes like US has been the number one, but then I think even probably tied with US or maybe at some points even more patriotic has been the whole Hispanic culture, because no matter where you go, like if they're in China or if they're in Japan or whatever, like these people are going to show that they're from, you know, Mexico or wherever. So I think that we can't have a patriotic conversation without bringing in, you know, like Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we go back full circle, Jonathan, on this whole talk of, you know, the countries, you know, what you're proud in, what you know, it's, I can't get over it, is that the more we talk about it, the more I'm realizing how much of a bigger part it was in pro wrestling than even just mentioning it for the topic of a show. You know what I mean? Like, the more you think about it, the more we talk about it, everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, there's something to do with patriotism in it. Somebody's being patriotic. Somebody's talking about their country. Somebody's having a big part of their country involved in their character. And I don't know. I think I got more amazed by listening to us talk for the past 25 minutes about this than I have on any other topic we talked about, because I figured, patriotism in wrestling, you know, we'll probably get like 10 minutes out of it. But meanwhile, you know, look how much it's just snowballed into such a conversation, you know?
Yeah. And I still think that, you know, we could do hours on this subject because, you know, we've scratched the surface, as they say, but you know, JBL is another one that had a long run as a, you know, WWE champion. And I remember at Great American Bash, he came out in just like a hideous, huge top hat that was red, white, and blue. And he had like a red, white, and blue vest. And, you know, that's one of those things, is that the fans are saying, well, I'm from the USA, but I really hate this guy, but I'm from the USA, so I have to cheer for him. And, you know, there's a lot of times when I've seen matches where somebody like Rusev is going against, say, Kofi Kingston, and Kofi's from Ghana, West Africa, and they're chanting USA, USA. And, I mean, obviously the fans are just showing their distaste for the whoever the heel is in that situation. But, I mean, it's just it's funny to me that, the fans will chant even though they know that other person isn't even from the United States.
Yeah, and speaking of, before we even get to Hacksaw Jim Duggan too, which is coming up, my last question for you on this whole subject of patriotism has to do with today. I know we touched a little bit on Jack Swagger and how his character is kind of like, you know, he's not carrying the flag out to the ring yet. You know, he's not really getting USA chants started on his own. Do you think, like, the old school, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan bringing the flag down to the ring, and even just the fans chanting USA as a part of the show, do you think that's missing today? I mean, granted, like you said, too, we saw Big E bring the flag out, and we even had Zack Ryder bring the flag out against Rusev, and I hope that's not a thing now, that every time you fight Rusev, you got to bring the American flag out. But do you think the part of the 80s and 90s history of, like I said, with Hacksaw and whoever, you know, somebody who's the USA guy, and do you think we're missing a USA guy right now? And I mean, I know Swagger's there right now, kind of filling that void, but I mean, a true USA guy. And you could even talk about E3 in TNA right now. His gimmick was going to try to be the USA guy for WWE, but until he got fired. Do you think we need another USA guy who's just strictly getting USA chants going, carrying that flag, red, white, and blue trunks? Do you think that we're missing that today?
I think that you haven't seen the end of Swagger yet. I think that this is just the beginning for him, and he may transform into that sure. role. But even before that, I want to talk about how him and Cesaro used to come out to the Gazden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, the one with the snake on it. And that was, you know, a big thing, because they had Zeb, who is a veteran, come out with them, and they were trying to kind of stir up some, you know, it wasn't, I don't want to say anti, well, it was like anti-immigrant, you know, banter. Yeah. So, you know, they were using that flag as well. And I think that kind of hit a nerve with some of the people. I know Glenn Beck was talking about it, and, you know, he ended up calling people stupid wrestling people. I think that with the Gazan flag, it brought even more attention to professional wrestling from the mainstream. So I think that whether Swagger goes full-blown USA guy or if he stays the same, I think that he's still going to be kind of making news because of the feuds. The only problem is after his feud with Rusev, who's he going to go against, you know? Like, yeah. What are they going to do with that? Because they can't still say, you know, USA or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I just want to get to it. I mean, we talked a lot about patriotism right now, and I think we could probably still talk your ears off about more about being patriotic in pro wrestling. But I did talk to one of the most patriotic superstars in WWE history, and that is Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I do want to tell you, though, that today's show is being sponsored again by Collector's Realm, who gave me the opportunity to meet Hacksaw Jim Duggan a few weeks ago. And you could visit them at collectorsrealm.net to find out more information and any events that they're going to be at coming up soon. But Jonathan, Hacksaw was quite the unique character. I mean, we just saw him on Legends House on the WWE Network. I wish we were kind of getting paid to plug it, but maybe one day. And here's me with Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You've had quite the career, from the first Royal Rumble winner to the WWE Hall of Fame. Is there one thing that stands out that you wish you could have accomplished during your career?
One thing I would have liked to have done is wrestle Hogan. You know, I've never had the opportunity to wrestle against Hogan. We've been tag team partners together, but never actually been in a ring against him. Never being a champion, a lot of folks ask me about that. It doesn't really bother me. You know, with my character, you know, the whole deal was I don't care if I win the match, long as I win the fight. So I got disqualified a lot. So not being world champion is not something that I really miss, but miss working with Hogan.
I mean, that is kind of interesting. I didn't know that they never fought each other, but, you know, we're talking about patriotism, and obviously you can't put a pro-USA guy versus another pro-USA guy and expect anything, you know, good to come out of it. So, I guess that's interesting that he said he wanted to fight Hogan.
Yeah, that's what we call a civil war in the business.
There you go. I mean, it would have been interesting to see it. And if you had to pick a winner, who would you see winning, Hogan or Hacksaw?
You know, that's tough. I think that it's not really tough. I think it would have been Hogan.
Well, I'm going to say it was going to be Hacksaw because, I mean, even if he lost, like you just said, if he lost the fight, he wouldn't win the war. I mean, no, he would win the war. I don't know. But anyway, the man's got a 2x4, so let's listen to what else he had to say.
You just enjoyed a huge success on the Legends House. If you could have chosen the 7 legends to live with, who would you have picked off the top of your head? Maybe anybody else you would have loved to have stayed with?
Yeah, I would have liked to have Jake the Snake. Jake was a head usher in my wedding 25 years ago. Jake and I were very close. We had a falling out, but we kind of patched things back up. Ted DiBiase, of course, who I've probably wrestled more than anybody in my career and taught me a lot about wrestling. And two guys that are gone, Dr. Death Steve Williams, who's one of my best friends in my life, and Terry Gordy. Surprisingly enough, though, I would never have mentioned Piper until after this last Legend House because I didn't know Piper. And, you know, the first 2 days we got to this, we have to have a roommate. I'm like, I haven't had a roommate since college. You know? So I'm like, now you're rooming with Piper. So the first 2 days we're like, yeah, how you doing, brother? We're just eyeballing each other.
Yeah.
But boom, then we hit it off and became best friends. So yeah, I would want Pipe back as my roommate.
What do you think about that? If he had to pick his own Legends House, we had Jake the Snake, Ted DiBiase, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Terry Gordy, and Piper again.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's crazy about doing these interviews is finding out just how little most of these guys know each other. You know, you just assume it's a small, you know, fraternity of guys and they're all going to know each other. But I really thought that him and Piper would have known of each other a little better, but it sounds like they, you know. So I think it's a good – I would definitely like to see Jake Roberts on Legends House and also Ted DiBiase. I think those would both be great choices.
Awesome. Yeah, hey, like I said, it is interesting to find out what they really have to say. So here we go with another question.
Speaking of Piper, you guys got along really great on the show. Do you still talk to him now that the show has been over? Do you guys still keep in contact with him?
Yeah, I actually do quite a bit. I just talked to him a couple days ago. He's on his way over to England. We also did the movie Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was me, Piper, Kurt Angle, Matt Hardy, Shane Douglas, a couple TNA girls, a couple penthouse pets.
All right.
And a lot of folks ask, how would you describe the movie? I said, the title pretty much covers it. Pro wrestlers versus zombies.
There you go.
It's not Gone with the Wind.
pro wrestlers versus zombies. They actually, I don't know if this is like a part two or three, but I know there's another one on Netflix with Kevin Nash and I forget who else, but I kind of watched it for like 10 minutes and I was like, you have to kind of be in the mood to watch it, one of those movies. But I mean, I'd be interested to see that cast and what they're going to really do with it. But hey, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that I haven't seen it. I definitely think that I will have to watch it, though.
Tons of people have patriotic gimmicks over the years. Do you think yours was the best or the one that probably stood out most overall?
Well, I don't know if you'd say the best. I mean, a lot of guys been carrying the flag, but I think one of the reasons for my success is it's hard to stay current in any profession, but be doing my business for 35 years, been carrying the flag for over 30. I think one of the reasons for my longevity is people see it's sincere. It comes from my heart. It's my honor, my privilege to carry our flag out there. You know, they put the flag on guys like Lex Luger. Just didn't work. Put the flag on Hogan. He's got so much stuff going. It didn't work. Sarge, of course, but he's the military guy. I think I don't think anybody's carried the flag as well as I have. I'm something I'm proud of.
The key is, once again, he said it, it's longevity. And if you think of any other wrestler over the years, there's very few guys that have been able to be the same person for as long as he has. Mm-hmm. If you think of somebody like The Undertaker, he's even had to tweak his character to stay somewhat relevant. And Hogan as well. I mean, NWO Hogan, whatever. So with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, all he's pretty much had to do is come out and say, this is, you know, my 2x4 and this is the American flag and ho, and that's it. So good for Hacksaw.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of that, I asked him, you know, how did he come up with this Hacksaw ho?
How did you come up with your trademark ho?
I always joke. I said, you know, when I carried the 2x4 before I carried the hoe. So one time I got this huge splinter in my thumb and I went, oh! No. Actually, I just was down in Mid-South and I was just, I'm interactive with the fans and I just started yelling and they started yelling back and it just evolved into a trademark, surprisingly. And that's why I always talk to Flair. You know, Flair, I'm going, woo! I'm like, Rick, are your trunks too tight? Woo! I don't get it.
Wait, can we hear it though? Can we hear the classic? Can you give us the...
If you do it with me, guys, here we go, baby! Ho!
He's quite the comedian, man. I love talking to Hacksaw because this guy could do stand-up comedy, it seems. I mean, he's really funny to talk to, especially with the Ric Flair line right there. So, you know, hey, now you know where the ho came from, I guess.
Yeah, he mentioned Mid-South Wrestling, and WWE did do a DVD, and I highly suggest if you haven't watched it, you know, pick it up or watch it just because... You get to see some of Hacksaw before he was Hacksaw, and I think that, you know, it's pretty cool to see the evolution of from then to what you know him as now.
Yeah, definitely. And did you know he also played professional football?
I think I did, but I'd love to hear, you know, more about it.
Do you ever wish your career with the Atlanta Falcons would have taken off?
When I was younger, I did. Mm-hmm. Football was my life. I wasn't a wrestling fan growing up. I was just so involved in football. But looking back at it, it couldn't have worked out better for me. I got to fulfill my dream, be with the Atlanta Falcons in 1977. But then I made the move to wrestling in 79, and it's been a great career for me. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, because it's been good. You know, I've been with my wife 30 years. I've never had to go to rehab for booze or drugs, never had a felony arrest. It's been a successful business for me, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he played professional football until I did some research, but it's always interesting to hear what people have to say, because sometimes, you know, when you're in the NFL, you think you want to stay with the NFL, and going to pro wrestling you think would be a downfall, but for him it turned into a great career and a successful career at that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a lot of the guys in professional wrestling, they have their career has a shelf life on it, and I'm pretty sure that he definitely has made it probably longer in professional wrestling than he would have in, you know, NFL.
So, Jonathan, how many 2x4s do you think he has gone through in his career?
Wow. It's got to be... If you think he wrestled for 30 years, and let's say he wrestled 300 nights out of the year, I mean, do the math, because I'm terrible at it. So, I'm going to say it's got to be in the tens of thousands.
Well, let's find out.
Can you estimate the number of 2x4s you have gone over or you've had through your career? Yeah. Any number you can throw out?
I have not a clue, because I go through a lot of boards. You know, I used to travel with Jake, so I'd always joke. I'd come into the arena, I said, can somebody find me a 2x4 and get him a 10-foot python? You know? I guess you'll find a 2x4 pretty much in any building in the world.
Well, there you go. I mean, I guess we'll never really know, but I guess he does have a point where I guess you could find a 2x4 in any part of any building out there, huh?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious just to hear that. And, once again, I wish I could know more stories of him and Jake Roberts, because I think that those two together, for whatever reason, it just brings a smile to my face.
Definitely. I asked him also, you know, who is who he likes in pro wrestling today. So let's find out.
Who are some of your favorite wrestlers, pro or independent today? Anybody that you hear about or like watching now?
I like Dolph Ziggler. I always thought Dolph would be the marquee guy down the road. I could see him letting him go and bringing him back because he's got the look. Mm-hmm. You know, to be that marquee WWE guy, you know, he's got the blonde hair, the good body, the white teeth, handsome young guy. He kind of fits that bill. So I like Dolph Ziggler. And of course, the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, he's a throwback. He should be wrestling back with us in the 80s. I love the gimmick.
Now, it's funny because everybody who I've asked so far in the show, like, hey, who do you like today? And, you know, a lot of people mention Bray Wyatt. And, I mean, this guy is going to be over until the end of time and how many people love him. But I was not shocked, but, I mean, I didn't think coming from Hacksaw that, Dolph Ziggler would have been one of the top guys that he liked.
No, and I mean, they couldn't be more opposite, really.
Yeah.
But I think that's great that, you know, Hacksaw stays current with the product. And I think that that's good because you get a lot of people that maybe if they're not doing, you know, wrestling anymore, even if they're not going on the independent level, that they get bitter and they become complacent and they just kind of start to despise professional wrestling. But with Hacksaw, it sounds like that not only does he stay current, but he has people he's rooting for. So hopefully Hacksaw can get Dolph the push that he deserves.
So I also asked him, you know, who he had good chemistry with over the years. You know, some guys, they either love working on somebody or hate working on somebody. So I was kind of curious, you know, who he really enjoyed wrestling with. So we found out.
You've wrestled just about everybody in the business. I know you already said Hogan, but you'd love to. Is there one person maybe you feel you had chemistry with back then?
Without question, DiBiase. Teddy, you know, was a second generation wrestler, and like I said, I grew up not watching wrestling. I didn't start watching until I was 25 years old. So Teddy tells the story the first time he tied up with me, he cussed at me and tagged out, you know, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But he was very knowledgeable about wrestling, and I've wrestled Ted thousands of times all over the world, and he taught me an awful lot about wrestling.
There you go. I mean, who would have thought, you know, Ted DiBiase was somebody, you know, he had good chemistry with?
Yeah, once again, like I said, if you have the time or whatever, pick up that DVD. It sounds like I'm doing an infomercial for WWE DVDs, but since they have all the videos, then you can get on there and check it out because you get to see a lot of Hacksaw and DiBiase on there.
With the WWE Network, many new generations will get to see your career. What match would you want someone new to the business to watch to get the feel for Hacksaw? Is there one match that stands out you would want somebody to watch?
Well, I think my character kind of evolved to almost a more comical character in the WWE. My Mid-South stuff was a lot of blood and guts, chopping meat, you know, me and Buzz Sawyer in a dog collar match and stuff like that was pretty brutal, hardcore wrestling before hardcore was a term. And then I evolved where I had, I was the king of wrestling. I had the cape, the crown, the flag, the board, the thumb, the tongue, the hoe, and the crossed eyes. And Strongbow's like, you might want to be a little more serious in the ring. I'm like, and Bobby Heenan kept going to Vince. Vince, Duggan needs an eagle. You got to give him an eagle. I'm like, Vince, sir, Bobby, shut up. You know, Vince will do it for a rib.
So that's funny. I mean, could you imagine seeing Hacksaw with an eagle?
Oh, my God. I think that would have been – I mean, they had Frankie. They had Matilda, the dog. They had Damien, the snake. So I'm actually surprised that that Vince didn't get an eagle. I mean, there probably was some sort of law or something that kept him from doing it. But I think that now that I think about it, that is probably the greatest image I have in my mind is of Hacksaw Jim Duggan walking down the aisle with an eagle.
Definitely. And how do you think the fans will remember Hacksaw Jim Duggan? I asked them, you know, what's one match, you know, people should see with him in it?
Well, I think it's just nice to be remembered, you know, at any profession. And of course, like I said, it's a very competitive business. So many folks don't realize how competitive it is. You know, I tell kids there's 1,500 NFL football players playing in the NFL this year. There's 120 WWE wrestlers. And everybody goes, well, you guys are all good friends, aren't you? I said, yeah, we all compete for the same money. We're real good friends. It's a very competitive business. So just to be remembered is good, but I think what I like to be remembered for is my patriotism, I think, because it comes from the heart.
And that, you know, brings us full circle with our whole patriotism show, Jonathan. I mean, how do you think he will be remembered when it comes down to it?
I think that, you know, a lot of people don't give Hacksaw the credit he deserves. He was a mainstay in WWE. I definitely, you know, as a child growing up from the 80s and 90s, I remember him fondly, and I you know, he was a comedic character, but you knew that he was credible. Like, you knew he was going to put up a fight, and he may not have won the most matches, but like, he definitely gave whoever that he was going against a run for their money. And you know, he's somebody, he's now immortalized in the Hall of Fame, and with the advent of the network, you know, people get to see his body of work for a long time. And you know, I'll tell you what, I've been to Hall of Fames, I've been to WrestleManias, I've been to independent shows, and anytime this guy's on the card, you know that he's in the building, because people are chanting Ho and USA, and so, I mean, he's definitely, once again, he's survived the business of professional wrestling, and I think it's done him well.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. And, you know, I had one last question for him, and pretty much it had to go with, you know, the Legends House, which he was just on, and that had to deal with, you know, him and Tony Atlas, to where, you know, him and Tony have a lot of heat with each other, and, you know, you come across people like that sometimes, to where you just don't like the person. So I asked him, you know, aside from the Legends House, on the road, has there ever been a time where you just didn't get along with somebody, and who didn't you get along with? So this is what he had to say.
Matt Bourne and I didn't get along. We had a couple of fist fights down in Louisiana, and I beat him up pretty good. He tried to take advantage of me in White Plains years ago. So Matt, where's Matt at now? Oh, he's dead.
Wow. I think that's another wrestling podcast exclusive. I never thought. Wow. I don't know. I didn't expect that kind of an answer from Hacksaw. But I guess, hey, the truth will set you free. And the truth is out there, kids.
I'm typically not speechless, but yeah, that
it just shows you, man. I don't know. It just shows you how much, you know, you hate somebody. You hate somebody. You know what I'm saying? I guess.
Yeah, I don't look at Hacksaw as somebody who's, you know, I mean, you got to see a little bit of it with Tony Atlas and him, but gosh, that seems pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to what really happened. Maybe we can have him back on the show one day and dive deeper into the story of him and Matt Bourne. And yeah, I'm curious to know. I didn't want to get too much into it because I already saw how much he hated him with the whole dead comment. And hey, I mean, the truth is out there, and you just heard it here, guys, on another wrestling podcast. But guys, each and every week, join us here at another wrestling podcast. We are on marksforlife.net. Check us out. All of our shows are on there. All of our videos and video interviews that we did with people are going to be on there. Jonathan, where can you find us on social media?
Wow, that's a good question. And you can find us on Twitter at @awrestlingpod. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. We are on Stitcher. We are on iTunes, and we are being beamed out into all of those sites through Podbean.
That's it, guys. I mean, we're out there. Just Google it. Like I said, if you go to marksforlife.net, that's Marks, M-A-R-K-S, the number 4, life.net. All of our stuff's on there. A lot of great shows. You can see us on Marked Up occasionally on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. on Spreecast. Once again, on marksforlife.net. But we're everywhere. We're doing another wrestling podcast. I don't know, Jonathan. I guess join us next week. We're going to be talking about Northeast Wrestling. We got Wrestling Under the Stars 3 coming to Dutchess Stadium. And then we also got Northeast Wrestling August 16th coming to Bethany, Connecticut for their Heatwave show. So we got Brian Anthony joining us and Matt Taven from Ring of Honor also joining us next week. A lot of big things coming up in the next few weeks, Jonathan, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all in my backyard. I'm looking forward to going. You're definitely going to have to keep tuned in to find out who we get to talk to at some of these shows. We have some good guests lined up. And like we said earlier, this week's sponsor was Collector's Realm. But if you feel like you would like to be on our show as a sponsor, you can email us at anotherwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, give us your information and we'll see what we can do to get you as a sponsor on the show.
That's right, Jonathan. I guess each and every week when you're listening to us, you're listening to
Another Wrestling Podcast.